Sunday, July 27th, seventh Sunday after Pentecost. The Epistle from the Letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 19 through 23. Brethren, I speak a human thing because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members to serve uncleanness and iniquity for iniquity, so now yield your members to serve justice unto sanctification. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from justice. What fruit, therefore, had you then in those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of them is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the grace of God is life everlasting in Christ Jesus our Lord. Haydock Commentary. I speak a human thing, or I am proposing to you what is according to human strength and ability assisted by the grace of God, with a due regard to the weakness and infirmity of your flesh. The sense, according to St. John Chrysostom, is this, that the apostle, having told them that they must be dead to sin, lead a new life, he now encourages them to it by telling them that what is required of them is not above their human strength, as it is assisted by those graces which God offers them and which they have received. What I ask of you, Christian Romans, is that you so earnestly labor for your sanctification as to improve daily in virtue, as formerly you plunged every day deeper and deeper into vice. Formerly you were free from justice, that is, says Chrysostom, you lived as no way subject to justice, nor obedient to the law and precepts of God, an unhappy freedom, a miserable liberty, worse than the greatest slavery, the end of which is death, eternal death, of which sins with great reason you are now ashamed when you are become the servants of God and obedient to him, for which you will receive the fruit and reward of everlasting life in heaven. For the wages which the tyrant sin gives to his soldiers and slaves is eternal death, but the wages, the pay, the reward which God gives to those that fight under him is everlasting life, which, though a reward of our past labors, as it is often called in the Scriptures, is still a grace or free gift, because if our works are good or deserve a reward in heaven, it is God's grace that makes them deserve it. For, as St. Augustine says, when God crowns our works, he crowns his own gifts. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 21. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in the clothing of sheep, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and the evil tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can an evil tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit shall be cut down, and shall be cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Haydock Commentary. Beware of hypocrites with their outward appearance of sanctity and sound doctrine. By their fruits you shall know them. Such hypocrites can scarcely ever continue constant in the practice of what is good. Heretics usually affect an extraordinary appearance of zeal and holiness, calling themselves evangelical preachers and teachers of the gospel, as if that church which preceded them and which descends by an uninterrupted succession from the apostles did not teach the pure gospel of Christ. False prophets and heretics are far more dangerous than the Jews, who, being rejected by the apostles, are also avoided by Christians. But these, having the appearance of Christianity, having churches, sacraments, etc., deceive many. These are the rapacious wolves of whom St. Paul speaks in Acts 20. Origen styles them the gates of death and the path to hell. As the true church is known by the four marks of its being one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic, so heretics and false teachers are known by certain vices and the pernicious effects of their novelties in religion. As the true church is one by its members submitting with humility to the authority established by Christ, so are false teachers known by their separation from the ancient church and their divisions among themselves, the necessary consequences of rebelling against the authority established by Christ and alone capable of determining controversies. The same pride and other secret vices which make them despise government make them also not afraid to bring in sects of perdition, blaspheming, and this in civil government as well as ecclesiastical. Those that call themselves reformers in the beginning of the 16th century, of all others, were remarkable in this. What bloody tumults and wars were there not produced in Germany by the first reformers in that country? Calvin overturned the government of Geneva, and his followers under the name Huguenots filled France for a great length of time with slaughter and civil wars, frequently shaking the throne itself. In England, the first cause of its separation from the universal church was the unbridled passion of a tyrant. The effects were adultery and the murder of the successive queens that he had taken to his adulterous bed. As the true church is holy, recommending various exercises of religion tending to purify human nature and render men holy, as fasting, confession of sins, evangelical counsels, etc., so false teachers cast off all these, promising liberty and giving full rein to the lustful passions, thus giving a liberty of living as well as a liberty of believing. Another fruit of false teachers is separation from what was the universal church before their time, and which continues to be still the far greater part, not being confined to one state or country. Finally, false teachers are to be known by their not being able to show that they have received their doctrine and mission from the apostles in a regular succession from them,